ahead and say that I am so glad that you have decided to come and gather with the saints. If you're not new here, let me tell you that I am so glad to be home and to gather with my people, my local body. I love you all, and I wish that I was preaching under different circumstances, but God is sovereign, and in his providence, he saw fit for me to get to preach to you Psalm 100 today, and I am glad to take up the charge. But before we get into it, we've got to nail a few things down first. Number one, primarily, do you believe that this is the very Word of God? You need to resolve that within yourself. Do you believe that what you have in your hand is God's own Word to you? If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I do too. I thank God for it. Thank God for this light, for our path in a dark world. Let us not, brothers and sisters, wrap the cloaks of cultural understanding and falsehood around this lamp today. Let us hold this lamp up full force and let it shine to us and shine to the entire world. Let us submit to God at his word today, what he reveals to us. Let's join in that together, because I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you in that. If you wonder sometimes why your pastors draw harder lines than may seem necessary occasionally, I want to tell you that we draw hard lines where God draws hard lines. We stand firm on what God says in his word because, just like you, we believe that it is truly God's own word to us. And so if you've been wondering, why the emphasis on the Psalms today? Why are we singing the Psalms? It's because we see clearly revealed in God's word, that's what he tells us to do. And when you study these Psalms, as we have been, I hope that you've began to see these are perfection. These are perfect words for us to praise our Father God with, the Lord. These words are perfect. And it's good to be able to praise him with a clear conscience in the endeavor of truly worshiping him, offering sacrifices of praise that are worthy to him. So the title of this sermon is, His Steadfast Love Endures Forever. A psalm for giving thanks. You may see that before verse 1, at the top of this passage, a psalm for giving thanks. Oh, because we have much to give thanks for. But before we get into this psalm, by way of introduction, it is important to know and remember and to hear the truth that God the Father cares about his name, all that is ascribed to it, and how his holy name is praised. God cares about that. Essentially, God cares how we worship him. God cares what we ascribe to his name, what attributes we ascribe to him, whether or not they're false or true. As we've been studying through some of these vital psalms, which we've taken up to praise God with, seeing that he commands us to worship him in song with them, as we see in Colossians 3:16, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts to God. God in his providence has also seen fit that where we would be 60 questions into the Baptist Catechism would in fact be dealing with the third commandment. From Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I praise God that he has seen fit to pair questions 59 through 62 with our study through the Psalms. We're on 61 today, but if you will recall, question 60 from last week reminds us of what is required in the third commandment. That is this: the holy and reverent use of God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, words, and works. the reverent use of them. That's what's required when God says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That deals with our worship, brothers and sisters. It doesn't just deal with profanity or saying things that you know you shouldn't say and including God's name in them. It has to do with his attributes, his ordinances, his works, his words, his titles, and God's names. And this has key implications for all that we do in praising and worshiping God as his gathered saints. I'd rather not seek to prove to you that point with my own words, so I use God at his own word from Ezekiel 39:25. Therefore, thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord God. Now I will restore the fortunes of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel. And I will be jealous for my holy name. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will restore the fortunes of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel. And I will be jealous for my holy name. Brothers and sisters, we must praise God, our Father, certainly for the restoration and the mercy he has provided us, currently is providing us, and will provide us his people. We must praise him for that. We have good reason to praise, and we'll see that clearly in today's passage. Ezekiel 39:26 says, they shall forget their shame and all the treachery they have practiced against me. God says that of us. Praise him for it, that in Jesus it's true. So true that we could have a clear conscience, be washed clean of our guilt, praise God. There's not a believer in this room, I don't think, that doesn't want to praise God for the truth of Jesus, the truth of the gospel. Oh, we have everything to praise him for. And as we do it together, separately, in family worship, corporately gathered as we are today, etc., we must remember that our Father God is jealous for his holy name. And if we want to uphold God at his word and what he says in the third commandment, we must not profane it with anything that we attribute to it in our praise or our worship. You may, at the first taste of this, hear that word jealous and think, what's up with that? That's a bad translation. No, this jealousy is not bad jealousy. On the surface, it may seem to be a bad thing because in every other human institution, when we hear jealous, it is a bad thing. But not God, because God is not bad. God is good. Therefore, his jealousy for his holy name is good, that no one would be proclaimed above him, and that nothing would be attributed to him that he does not want attributed to him. This jealousy is completely just, holy, good, loving, and perfect. We must consider God's jealousy for his own holy name when we consider how it is appropriate to worship him. What methods are okay to put forward as worship for God? Especially the things that we sing and proclaim as the truth about him. Therefore, to obey the third commandment as we give thanks to God for his steadfast love, which endures forever, We must do so as he prescribes, not profaning his name by falsely ascribing something to it. And singing the Psalms guards us from just that. God's word is perfect. We're all in agreement on that if you said amen. God's word is perfect in all that it reveals about God, all that he reveals about himself within it is perfect, so we can with clear conscience sing his word back to him in praise, as he has told us to do, knowing no falsehood could profane his name from his word. We should have complete joy and a lack of all burden when we sing the Psalms back to God as far as obeying the third commandment is concerned. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word, a lamp to our feet. Thank you that it reveals the truth of Jesus, the gospel, the good news, the knowledge of Christ that illuminates our dark hearts. I pray, Father, that your word would be proclaimed clearly today, and that your saints would be sanctified, and that you would be worshiped well by these sacrifices of praise to you. Father, may this all be for Christ's name's sake, to your glory alone. Thank you that we can have joy in that because of Jesus. It's in his name I pray. Amen. I'd like to read Psalm 100 again with that understanding. And know that as we read through this, God in his great grace to us has given us two important things. The command, and by his grace, the explanation for it. God tells us what to do and why to do it. There's not a single person in here who deserves that. But he loves us. Jesus proves it. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Oh, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And his faithfulness to all generations. Amen. Amen. God reveals at least three points to us in this psalm. One, how we sing to the Lord. Two, why we sing to the Lord. And three, who should sing to the Lord. Point one. How we sing to the Lord. Let's walk through this together as we have the other psalms so that when we sing these, we can sing them with the right understanding of what's going on here. Verses 1 through 4. Number 1, singing to the Lord must be joyful singing. We see that in verses 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve him with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Believer, you know what true joy is because it's been given to you by God, applied by the Holy Spirit, purchased by Christ. There is nothing that could happen to you that would separate you from your Father God. Because of Jesus. And the one thing that Satan can truly hold over you, the one thing that will come to all of us one day, our death, for you, Christian, is a gateway that brings you face to face with Jesus Christ. That's joy in everything, even unto death. We should serve the Lord with our time here with gladness. All that we do, our toil, we should know that we don't ultimately work for our boss or for ourselves. Nothing here is ours, including ourselves. And we work unto the Lord. And we should do it with gladness. And it's the same in singing God's praises. We should be joyful in this, thinking on Him, not on us, and serving Him in song with gladness. Next, singing to the Lord must be knowledgeable singing. Verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We must accurately know who the Lord is. The Lord is the sovereign God of all creation, your own creator and the creator of everything. He upholds it. Everything right now exists and functions because He wants it to. And He does that. We must know who He is. He is the just God who for His enemies gives punishment. And for His friends, His family ransomed into His family by Jesus, He gives complete and total forgiveness and grace. Praise Him. We must accurately know that the Lord our God, what the Lord our God has done. It is He who made us. Look at your hands. Everyone, look at your hands. Those are not your hands. Those are God's hands. They belong to God. The eyes that you just used to look at them belong to God. Every connection between your eyes and your brain was created by God. It belongs to God. Every member of your being is God's. We should set about working to praise Him with them. He has given you your eyes for looking at His beauty in creation and the Word and the church and for the day upon your first seeing face to face Jesus Christ. The Lord has made you to do the good work that He's laid out in front of you to go and do. Oh, and He graciously grants fruit to grow from that labor. Last week, a bunch of us were in Nashville, most of whom worked way harder than me and had been working way longer than me. Oh, but they used what God had given them to go out and to save those that God is currently knitting together in the womb. Putting spurs into the side of the horse to abolish abortion. That the biggest Protestant denomination in the United States of America, arguably the most powerful nation, would stand to abolish abortion. What did God do? Oh, He used the means of His grace. He used the means of His people going and telling the truth to thousands that they would stand up and say, yes, God's word says this is what must be done. And we as the Southern Baptist Convention are going to do it. Praise God that He works through His people. He works through those He has made to save the lives of those He is currently making in the womb. We have reason to praise Him for what He's done in the past, for what he did last week, for what he does today and tomorrow and into the future. We know we have reason to praise him as he sees fit. We must accurately know that the Lord our God has redeemed us, and what that cost. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Oh, what it took to bring us in. He didn't deny his own son to ransom us into the family. We must know this. Children, kiddos, look at me. I ask you, kiddos, to look at me right now and listen. You must know who the Lord is. You've got to know who he is. And to figure that out, you've got to listen to the preaching of his word. You've got to listen in family worship when your parents talk about Jesus. You've got to listen to the catechisms and what they say about him and the way that he designed things. You've got to know the truth that every one of us in this room has utterly failed. Every one of us in this room deserves death and everlasting punishment in hell. Oh, but God saw fit to save us. If you would just trust in Jesus, that he has done everything that you've heard that he's done for you. He came here from on high with God. He came to the earth and became a little baby, the weakest from the mightiest position for you. He lived a life of temptation, just like you are tempted and fail. Jesus was tempted and did not ever fail. How crazy is that? When he saw that he could do the wrong thing, he did not do it. How many times have you done the wrong thing? Well, know that Christ was perfect for you if you trust in him. And being perfect, he went to the cross and died the death that we deserve. He paid for our punishment on the cross, became a curse, took on all our sin, and was crushed by it to pay our penalty. Trust in Jesus, little one. And he didn't stay dead. God rose him back to life, beating death for you if you would believe and trust in him. And he rose, and right now, do you know where Jesus is right now, kiddo? Jesus is right next to God the Father, and he's still working for you. He's still working for you. When the devil comes and says, see, look, they messed up, Jesus says, look at my perfect work for them. That's what God sees. Praise him. Little ones, trust in Jesus and listen to all your parents have to teach you about him from the Bible. Parents, teach your kids the word. They must have accurate knowledge of God in their little ways. They need to know the truth the way they can understand it. Give that to them. Don't deny them the true food that they need spiritually. It's more important than the food that they need physically. Make time for family worship, to praise God together in your own home, and to read his word. Next, singing to the Lord must be thankful singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. If those aren't hard lines of what we're supposed to be doing, then I don't know how to make them any harder. God's word is telling us legitimately to do these things. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. He is our great king, and when you enter his gates, enter him with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. I ask you to think on this. My brother, my sister, what are you thankful for? If you hesitate, you don't think and meditate on that enough. And you should more often. Because the more you think about it, I was talking with a brother last Sunday after gathering. The more you think about it, the more floods to you. Do not deny God his praise in what you're thankful for. Therefore, think on all of the things that you should be thankful for. Yes, think on Jesus. And then think deeper about Jesus, reconciling you to God, reconciling you to your brothers and sisters in ways that do not make sense. We have so much to be thankful for. All your heart's beating right now. We should give praise to him for that because we don't deserve it. The fact that your hearts, brother and sister, that are beating right now used to be stone and God replaced them with the heart of flesh, we should praise him for that. Oh, that we could love him. We should sing to the Lord being thankful. Second point, why we sing to the Lord. Yes, all of this should draw about our praise. But specifically we see in Psalm 100, why we sing to the Lord. In verse 5, for the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. We sing to the Lord because he's good. There is no believer who could deny that who is truly a believer. We may not understand it in the thick middle of it, of how in the world this is good. How could God be good if he's causing me to go through this? Oh, but for those who he loves, that love him, he works all things to the good. That is a praiseworthy, true saying. Even the worst, God works it for good, saint. Oh, I want to sing already. We sing to the Lord because his loving kindness endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. That's an easy one to say quickly. I'll be honest, in studying for this, it's one that I went through quicker, and I was like, okay, yeah, I get that. No, but when we break it down into the individual words, consider the strength of our Father's love. His steadfast, immovable. Though the sands of our culture swirl around us and they sting our eyes, God's love is steadfast, and we can stand on that rock and praise him in the midst of the storm. His love endures. Oh, what I've caused his love to have to endure. Oh, his love, I can look at my life and I can say, God's love has endured so much for me because of me. In my daily life, oh, I should praise him. I should praise him that his love endures all of my failure. And the true endurance of God the Father's love, it's in Christ and what he was willing to endure for us. We'll never understand the extent of that. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't try to understand what we can. The agony of our Savior. The agony that we deserve forever. Oh, but his steadfast love endures. And how long does it endure for? It endures forever. Until an end that doesn't exist is forever. Thank God for this song. That he would clearly reveal to us in a song why he deserves our singing. It goes on and gets even better. We sing to the Lord because his faithfulness endures to all generations. And his faithfulness to all generations. From the beginning until forever, God's faithfulness endures to all generations. Thank God for the generation before me who taught me the truth of the gospel. I praise God that he promises it's not going to stop with my generation, although it seems like it's often tested. Ah, but the truth of God's word is the truth of God's word. And it should bring us to praise that no matter what this generation looks like, what's happening in the world around us, God is growing his kingdom. God is growing his kingdom. The gospel is going to the ends of the earth, to the next generation, my children. The gospel goes on, and we should praise him for that. Last point, who should sing to the Lord? Singing to the Lord must be done by all the earth. See that in verse 1. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. One day this will be so. One day God's command to make a joyful noise to him will be shouted across the entire earth. I praise him for that. And I also need to repent of oftentimes questioning how that could happen. God's ways are higher than my ways. And I praise him for that too. And I also need to repent because last week, when I was introducing our responses, our time to respond to God in worship, I said to a certain group of people not to sing. I said, don't sing if you're not a Christian. I was wrong. Because the truth is the truth. The psalm is the truth. One day, all of Christ's enemies will be made his footstool. The word of God is the truth, and all the earth should sing it. Who am I to dampen that? And considering this, this is our conclusion. Considering all the earth praising the Lord, we need to remember a few important things. Number one, you were once the end of the earth. Muskogee, Oklahoma was once the end of the earth. Look how God got the gospel here. It was through his church. I ask you to continue to commit your life to God, to do all of the good work he lays out in front of you to do, And to know that the primary agent of the gospel going out into the world has been his church. So I ask you, as every individual member of God's church, I want you to dedicate yourself to the body. We need every one of you to come alongside us and for us to come alongside you, to do everything that everybody else can't do. Won't you join together, church, to fulfill the great commandment and the great commission? That is, let us join together and dedicate ourselves together for the glory of Christ, for his name's sake, and for those who have not yet heard it, to hear it. For those who have heard it and have not yet believed it, to believe it. Won't we join together, brother and sister, and love God and our neighbor as ourself, and go and make disciples of all nations, so that one day all the earth would make a joyful noise to the Lord. And that we would baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that God has commanded us. Let us join together in that endeavor to worship God well. And let us sing his praises from the Psalms all the while. Surely Christ is with us always, even to the end of the age. Pray with me. Father, thank you that Christ is with us. Thank you that you have given your people your Holy Spirit to apply the truth of your word. Thank you for letting us read it. Thank you for copies of it. I pray, Father, that what you have gifted us would spur us on and would not gather dust, but your word would spur us on to say what you say, to believe what you say, to do what you say for the sake of Christ and sacrifices of praise to you and a true life of worship to you. I pray you'd band us together in that as your local body, in praise to the head of the church, Christ himself. In his name I pray, amen.